This morning's message, Stand in the Gate or in the Pulpit. Stand in the Gate or in the Pulpit. Last Sabbath, we explored where God was looking for a man to stand, someone to stand, which he does in this day and time, in which he found that one good man that doeth good, which was Jesus Christ, whom we should be imitating. The Word of God must be proclaimed by His man where the people congregate at, beginning with God's people. It begins with the house of God, and here we see where Jeremiah was told to start at the house of God. This sermon took place in the reign of Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, right at the end of the Reformation period. And chapter 7, the base of it, is in chapter 26, where this came from. But chapter 7 is a summary of a text of several different scriptures, which was combined with other scriptures. And so, chronologically, some of the text belongs here, the 14th chapter, the 11th chapter, and some of the various places, because the Bible is woven together. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. And we must, when we come into God's Word, study to show ourselves approved, and that He writes it in up on our hearts. If we're regenerate, if we're born again people of God. So, as he told him to go and stand in the gates. In other words, this is not to the world first, it's to the house of God first. And in those days, the people congregated in the gates of the city. But he told him to stand in the gates of the house of the Lord, talking to his supposedly people. And like I said, this was on the heels of the Reformation, where Jeremiah was to tell the people that they was about to be weighed in the balance. Weighed in the balance. We look and read the Old Testament as though it sits off by itself. And a lot of preachers nowadays say, well, you don't have to worry about that Old Testament. But I think you do. And I think unless you get the right perspective on it, we're going to miss a lot. Because what Jeremiah is saying is occurring in the book of Revelation. Revelation, the 6th chapter, and the 5th through the 6th verse, because we see being weighed in the balance, and I give you some reading on that. He says, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not hurt the oil and the wine. So God, apparently he is separating out his people. He's calling a judgment as he pours out the bowls of wrath, as he pours out judgment upon the world. We see this as a worldwide judgment, just as in Judah's time, this was for all the people of Israel, in that it was inclusive for the people to hear this, that they should hear this word from God. And that those that acted upon the word from God were the regenerate. In other words, these were the ones God was going to deliver. This was going to be the remnant people. But he had to preach it to everyone coming into the house of God. Not that everyone coming into the house of God was going to be saved. That's why a lot of people say, well, why would God give them a message as he gave Jeremiah? And it says, stand in the gates, chapter 7, the first verse. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gates of the Lord's house, proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Everybody that comes into the church should hear the message. That's why the preacher must stand in the pulpit and boldly proclaim the word of God. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. We have to take that as spiritual and not geographical, because he knew he was about to take them into captivity. That they wouldn't be in Jerusalem because he was about to destroy Jerusalem. This is fixed and fitted in his mind. This is going to occur, but he was going to give peace to those of the people that was going to walk in his ways and take heed to the words that he was speaking. So he wasn't just speaking this and then he was going to do what he was going to do anyhow. He was speaking just like the preachers that preach today and teach, because it's only going to be a few within the congregation that take heed to the word of God and do the word of God. It's not going to be very many that do that. And he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Notice he says that three times, which is the number of deity. But we see that this places emphasis on that. They were worshiping the temple just as they did in the days of Peter, when they were saying, behold the temple. And the Pharisees loved the temple, and they hung up on the temple, and they loved the temple. But in that temple, they had made it an idol. They had made an idol of the temple. And that's what they're doing today. They're building buildings. They made an idol out of religion. And they're calling on the name of the Lord, which makes it worse. Which makes it worse. And as I said, this came on the heels of chapter 26, that the people had started to use God's word wrongly. They had started to look at religion the wrong way. And this had begun in the days of Josiah with the Reformation, that the Reformation was just peripheral. It wasn't a change of heart. They hadn't amended their ways. He says, for you, if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your own hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place that I gave you to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. They had begun to trust in their prophets. They had begun to trust in preachers, just like the people today handed down, that those are your sons and daughters. Those are your fathers and things. And a lot of your fathers was wrong. A lot of your children are wrong. The seminary are turning out bad preachers. They are bad people in religion. Your political leaders are bad people. And you have to have the word of God in you to realize that there are evil people that will use the word of God. They will come in Jesus' name. That's why this blasphemy that God says you trusting in lying words. See, Jeremiah was looking deeper that here that it wasn't God that had deceived the people. The people had allowed themselves to be deceived, and they were deceiving themselves and being deceived. So, at the time of restitution of all things, he said, we read Wednesday night, God shall send Jesus. So, what he has done with his death on the cross, when he said, it is finished, he had placed us in a new state. He had told us the kingdom of God is within you. We should see things as new, as a new creation. For we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things have become new. So we should start refreshing our mind and walk differently. We should listen and can hear the word of God. Whereas there are many others in the church that can't hear the word of God. They can't hear it as the people during Paul's day. Paul heard Jesus speak, saying, thou art Jesus whom thou persecuted. But the rest of them around him, they say they heard a voice, but they didn't understand what they were saying. When John baptized Jesus, they heard, some said, it thundered, but some heard the voice of God says, this is Jesus, my beloved son. This is my beloved son in whom I well please. So just because you're in the church, just because you go to church, just because you read your Bible, that doesn't mean you hear God's word. God may not know you. He may not have an intimate knowledge of you because you have no fellowship with him. That you're just using vain words that's coming out of your mouth, but your heart's far from God. You hadn't been changed. And so these people had crossed the line. You have to really look at 26 to see during this time. See, Jehoiakim was the one that had burned the word of God. Just as today, these people, these religions, that's why we can't syncretize religion. We can't buddy with the Catholics. We can't buddy with the Mormons. I see this guy that's running for president. He's at Liberty College, and that Jared Farwell was way against what Romney stood for, Zedekiah. Catholicism, which he has embraced for a running mate, far from what Mormonism is. So we have syncretism in religion. And we have syncretism in the world. People are intermarrying nowadays. You go to two or three different churches in one family, and the kids don't know what the world will believe because they don't know who's right, because most fathers won't stand up on their principles. And this was the thing in Jeremiah's time, that the men wasn't being men. We went over a series about a bunch of scared men, and that's what we have today, are scared men. And God has to wipe them out, and the men that's standing for God and walking in God, God has to multiply those men and strengthen those men and remove the rest of the world away. He had to remove those people. So in Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, the 16th verse, he says, therefore, Jeremiah, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me for them, for I will not hear thee. What? He says, pray not for this people. You know, Moses interceded for the people. You know, it's so many of people that interceded for the people. But see, the people hadn't committed blasphemy in those cases. See, the people are committing blasphemy nowadays. The men are not being men. And God says he's not to save this generation. He's not to save these people. See, there's a sin that you can pray for, long as it's not a sin unto death. 1 John 5:17 says, and see, these are sins whereby one's transgressions transgresses the directness of God. It's against the light of God. It's presumptuous sin. So there is a sin that you can't be saved from. Those are the ones against the spirit of truth. It's blasphemy, speaking against the truth of God. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So we pray according to God's will. But in God's will here, he tells Jeremiah, don't pray to me about these people, don't make intercession. And he says it in several different places. He says it in this chapter, and then he says it in chapter 11 and 14, 14 and 11 and 12, and chapter 44, 15 through 25. Don't pray for these people because this is a different sin that they have sinned here. They're doing just like the politicians and the people are doing today. This is presumptuous sin. This can't be atoned for. Any sins can be forgiven, meaning even speaking against the Son of God. But blasphemy against the Holy Ghost won't be forgiven. So he says, 1 John again, he heareth us, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin not unto death. There are those sins that are not unto death. Now, when God was sending the children out in the wilderness, and Moses asked for God to go with them, and God says, well, he couldn't go with them. They were a sinful people. He said, but I'll send my presence with you. I'll send the angel of the Lord. And see, this angel of the Lord, he wasn't going to forgive your sin. Exodus 23 and 20. He says, behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. See, that's what he had sent the Spirit for in this day and age, to lead you and guide you in all truth. Now, he tells us, don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit of God. See, your way starts prevailing and you wrestling and striving against the Spirit of God leads to death, because he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now in Exodus, as he says, he's prepared to bring thee into the place which I have prepared of you. He says, now beware of him, this angel of God. See, because Joshua told him, you can't serve God, because you'll fool around here and serve me and then turn against me and I turn and fight against you. I become your enemy, and you got problems when God turns on you. When God becomes your enemy. See, you take this for a game. It's a lot of smiling and jesting in this. And this is not what that's about. That's why it says there's a lot of long suffering. This is about the forbearance of God. Some of them God was to put up with and suffer along with. But some of them he would bring in judgment, because he was at the end of his rope of mercy with these people. So, it says, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. My name is in him. This is the angel of the Lord. Now he consistently reminds them, Don't mess around with this angel. So Joshua ran across this angel and he stood before him. He said, who you are? Are you for us or them? He said, I'm come in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's when Joshua fell down in worship. See, when this angel comes, this is the Lord coming. This is the angel of the Lord coming. So we realize that Jeremiah's is, if you read the 8th and 9th chapter, he starts to weep and cry for these people, because he sees God's about to wipe these people out. God's about to wipe some in our families out, because he says one or two out of a family. God's about to start wiping these people out, or setting them down the wrong road to allow them to be deluded. In other words, he's going to send such a strong delusion, because you've been in the church for a while. You've been playing with the Word of God, and you're tossing around His name, and you're not taking this very serious. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. He says, Hebrews, it is impossible for those who were once in light and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. See, this is what Judas did. He experienced all the blessings that God has to offer. He experienced the working of the Spirit, but yet and still, he openly defied God and went after the world. He presumed upon God that he can get out of his sin. He says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despiseth Moses' law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sorrier punishment suppose ye shall be those worthy who had trodden on the foot the Son of God, who had said that they were Christians, that they were doing things in the name of God, and that the Spirit of the Lord told me. That's why I tell you, I stay away from around people who always hollering, the Spirit of the Lord told me. See, because if you're lying and that's not the Spirit of God, you have blasphemed God. You've lied on God. See, but this have become just bywords and words that we use, the Spirit of the Lord told me. Now, you're either misrepresenting God or you don't know who God is. That's very dangerous when people say, well, you know, the Lord told me to tell you. See, that's dangerous. You applying something to God that God giving God credit for something that Satan is telling you or that self is telling you. And your life is going to be messed up behind this. We better beware of the words that we speak that come out of our mouths. The power of life and death is in the words we speak. So he says, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that says, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. He could judge the church first. Judgment begins at the house of God. And it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. Jesus was talking with the Pharisees. And verse 11 of this, 8 through 11 says, will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. Now, if you don't believe this, go and look at Shiloh, what used to be Shiloh. He destroyed that first place, Shiloh. They went out with the ark. They thought the ark of God was going to save them from the Philistines, and the Philistines took the ark of God from them. A lot of people here in this nation use God's name, and a lot of them, other nations, put it on them, and then they say, well, you ain't scared to go against God? They may be scared to go against God, but they're not scared to go up against you because you're a hypocrite. See, just because you use God's name, that don't mean God is with you. Just because this nation says it's a Christian nation, don't mean it's a Christian nation. This guy that's on trial now, he says it's a hypocritical nation, it's a hypocritical government, and he wants his trial to be publicized so that they can see the hypocrisy. But the devil's not going to open that curtain. He's not going to allow you to see that, but God is slowly allowing you to see behind this veil. But it takes guts to stand up. It takes guts to stand up to the world. It takes guts to stand up to the people of the world. And how you will stand up to the people of the world? How you will stand in the pulpits and declare God's word? And you can't stand up to your wife and children. You can't even stand up to them. It says in here that the men, while the women was doing these things, that the men helped them do this in that. Verse 18. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire. And the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. That's what they're doing. That's what they're walking around doing in God's house. Jesus was in the preaching and teaching. And when he cast out a devil in the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, and he was doing the work of God. That's why when we're doing the work of God and men intervene or men say something, you need to be careful of who or what you're speaking against. See, because when you speak against the Word of God, when you speak against the people of God, thereby you speak against God. In Matthew 12 and 30, he says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all men of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." See, we don't know what blasphemy is. A lot of people think cursing is blasphemy. That's not blasphemy. Blasphemy is to speak against the Spirit of truth, to attribute the things of God. Technically, according to the scribes, blasphemy involved direct and explicit abuse of the divine name. In Matthew, Jesus teaches that it also may be the reviling of God by attributing the Spirit's work to Satan. And they say he casted out devils by Beelzebub. You're attributing his work to Satan. When you fight against the Spirit of God, that's why when these politicians are saying this, or these preachers are saying this, God said, "Now you're trusting in lying words. I hadn't sent you. I hadn't said that. And what you're speaking against is the truth. Now the fight is with me." You see, that's what Satan did in the beginning. He says, God knows, had God said, this is all about words. The whole scenario is about something said. It's about words. Beware of the words coming out of your mouth. You shall give account for every idle word. Watch using the Lord's name. He says, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. So as these people went about doing these things, Jesus said that he was going to punish them, in that his children that do things against God, God punished them physically. He could punish them to the point where this judgment of God results in sickness or death, which is, you know, sleep. That's the disobedience that comes on the children of God. It's physical death. That's what came upon Adam, physical death. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 30 says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Those are the ones who had not examined themselves. Those are the ones that are walking uncircumspect. They are walking according to the flesh. We have to be circumspect in our walk. Jeremiah 7:28 says, "But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and cut off from their mouths. Do not intercede for this people." God is determined to wipe these people out. Jeremiah, I gave you those verses, that God is going to wipe them out because of the transgressions they committed against him. And the same with the church today. It's no different. And we think that we can sin and God forgive our sin. Yeah, but there are some sins that are unto death. Now the sacrifices, they were offering up sacrifices at this same time. Now, we have a lot of things about sacrifices we don't understand. And God told them that they could keep those sacrifices. Verse 22, start at 21. "Thus said the Lord God of hosts, Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifice. But this offering I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people." God at no time demanded or commanded sacrifices of the people. Through the guilt of our consciences, we sacrifice unto God. Jeremiah, as a prophet, Jeremiah considered sacrifices as ordinances. Sacrifices are not required. These are burnt because if it's a sacrifice unto God, the only sacrifice unto God are burnt offerings, which are completely used up. That's why he said you can eat that flesh. You can eat those offerings because you didn't mess over it anyhow. I didn't require this of you. Jeremiah 33:16 to show you what I'm talking about he didn't consider that as sacrifices. He says, in those days shall Judah be saved and Jerusalem dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called. The Lord, our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kill on meat offerings and to do sacrifices continually. So you see, God didn't require this, and if he had required it, he would have provided those things because he says God will provide himself a lamb. He was to provide his own sacrifices. We can read it in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms says, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears had opened thou open. That's Psalms 40:6. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thine will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. See, he didn't require sacrifices. But he says now, those were ceremonial laws. See, that's why on the cross he was able to wipe out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. That's why I say sacrifices was ordinances. They were part of ritual, a ceremonial law. And the cross wiped those out, so that's why sacrifices is no longer, don't even bring them. It was nailed to the cross. The handwriting of ordinances was nailed to the cross. So Israel and nobody else can offer any sacrifice because Jesus was that one sacrifice that was offered that one time unto God. A perfect sacrifice. So don't try to offer a sacrifice. You know what your sacrifice unto God is? I present my body. That's what Psalm says. A body he had required. That's what we just now read, isn't it? Psalm 40:6, it says, burnt offerings and sin offerings has thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written. You are already here, chosen from the foundations of the world. God chose the time to place you into the earth, to regenerate you, to bring you alive, to wake you up to consciousness. He says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. In other words, you're born again. When you're born again, he writes his law in your heart. And you know the word of God. That's why he said, study the word of God. You need not have a man teach you, for the law is written within you. Running around here and you're knowing you're doing wrong. Knowing you're a scared man, knowing you're scared, knowing you're not completing what God said. You need to be on the altar. You need to be before God saying, strengthen me, Lord, that I can do thine will. That's what we need to do. Humble ourselves before God. Because if this is a fight that you're not ready to fight, you're into idolatry. And that's what they were doing. The temple was an idol unto them. Everything was idols unto them. It says, verse 24, But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels of their own imaginations, of their evil hearts, and went backwards and not forward. Since that day their fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, until this day I have sent my prophets unto them, rising them up early. but they even did worse than their fathers. They were given to idolatry. It says here that they had worshipped the Queen of Heaven. When it says, verse 18, when it says the women kneaded their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, this was Ashtar. And Ishtar, the Babylonian goddess, it was goddess worship. It was Mary worship. This day and age, it is abundant. And that's in Catholicism. We had right here in Baton Rouge people lining up there in Broadmoor to look at some statue that they talking about was bleeding. Right here in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, they wanting the Pope or some bishop to come and declare this a miracle that this statue was bleeding. See, that's why you need the government. See, because the people in that neighborhood, they didn't have the power over the Catholic Church, but they went to the government, the authority, and say, well, look, now we got freedom of religion. We could understand this, but they blocking my driveway with this foolishness. I can't get in and out with their foolishness. Now, don't get me hooked up in their foolishness. If they want to worship statues and everything, let them do that. If they want to worship this foolishness, this time my substatue bleed, but they're blocking my driveway. See, that's when the government comes in and says, well, hold on now, you can't do this. Now, according to these regulations here, you need to declare yourself a church. You need to bring forth this. And you need to do this and that. See, the government helps us to where we can't help. It's an arm of God. It's a servant of God to do good against those that do evil. Don't tie me up in yourself. See, they were into these things. Now, what they also had went back to doing was that they were, verse 30, for the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name. They have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart. Therefore, behold, the day is coming, saith the Lord, that they shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. These people had built back this burning of the children in Tophet because Josiah had did away with that valley. He had did away with idolatry there. See, but that's why I said it was just on the surface. It was on the surface like here in Louisiana, and I was telling you, the ex-governor was speaking up about what they're doing or whatever. This last administration coming in with a whole lot of reforms and everything was just on the surface. But it was oppression of the people. That's why God says, if you oppress not the people, if you amend your ways and render righteous judgment. It's been in the paper about the situation with the doctors that it's not being accredited right and that it's a dangerous position that this state had been placed in. And now this administration, this is what the governor has said. These are laws and deals he had made with the legislature. Now he says, well, no, I want to break that. I can break that. See, they're not going to even hold their words, let alone God's words. This money was supposed to have been for a rainy day fund. And you see what? He's not even in the state. Most of the time he's out campaigning because it's such a bad perplexity with this government that no one's going to be able to help this state. I don't know if this can be turned around or not. So he's looking for a cabinet position if this other guy gets elected. If he gets elected, he sees he's not going to be vice president, no president soon. So he wants a cabinet position. And lo and behold, and woe to a lot of people if that does happen. If that does happen, I can see a lot of oppression nationwide, not just statewide. He's never been happy in no job he ever held. He's always wanted to change for the next job. And if you read the paper, each one in this administration bucking against one another It's no cohesion there. And it's all about the dollar. And nobody are holding their word. That's why God says, I have to destroy this government. I have to destroy this because it had changed to nothing but oppression and idolatry. Idol worship. And these people that were worshiping the creature more than the creator, the men, as I said, Jeremiah noticed that the men were not being men, and that's where the forbearing and long-suffering comes in. Because the things of God has to be first. My phone was ringing Wednesday night, and I have it. I always make an example by coming in and turn my phone off in front of everybody when I come in, that you need to turn the phones off. You don't need to interrupt the worship service. If you can serve God, serve God. Doctors even do that. And a lot of people here act like they're more than doctors and jump up and rush up and answer the phone, interrupt everything or whatever. It was my daughter called. And I called her after the service was over with, and she was coming from New Orleans. She works down in Metairie, but she was headed to Bible study, and her tire had went flat. And it's nothing I could do about that at that time. She was trying to, but, you know, this really hurt. That's why I say is we have to suffer. I wish I could have been there to help or do something, but sometimes we have to leave things in the hand of God. That was one of my sons calling me back just a while ago. But as I said, when I'm in the midst of the things of God, as Jesus was, when he was doing God's work, they tried to interrupt him and say, your friend's sick. Your friend Lazarus is sick. Come see what he wants. Did Jesus stop what he was doing and go say, let me come and see what you want, Lazarus? He didn't go to Lazarus. Lazarus ended up dying. Mary was, they was, seemed kind of upset. Say, well, if you was here, my brother might not have died. See, but God could fix these things. And as I tell you, sometimes we break off what we're doing. We go help somebody else. Well, these people, they don't have wives or husbands or anything. Well, that's why every man really, you be wanting your daughter to get married. You're responsible for it until you marry. But if she having problems, let her husband go check that problem. She having flats? She having problems? That's her husband's job. My wife, I said, well, honey, we done got older. We will have problems. Let us join AAA. My wife had a problem at work. She couldn't get into her car. I'm at home. I don't know nothing I can do. She was trying to call my son. I said, well, honey, he may be doing something or whatever. So all you got to do is get on your phone. It's on your app. Just touch it. AAA will come open the door for you. See, God has a way out of things, but we could inconvenience other people. And see, this is all the flesh. This is the flesh working in us. And, you know, I talked with my daughter the other day, and she had went to say, well, she had went and got four new tires for a car. And I said, and the amount she paid for them. See, I wanted to call her today and say, oh, honey, I'm glad you did that. You're doing fine by yourself. You're doing fine. My son was leaving the house the other day. I said, son, it looks like you sound like your wife's car. The wires or something need changing or whatever. Well, she need to do this. No, she don't. You need to do that. You need to do that. And no other man should be running behind some other man's wife helping that other man's wife. You ruining him, you ruining her. And then you're not holding to what you're supposed to be. God has something for you to do. Let that fall upon that first. See, we always trying to rescue and bail somebody out. And so God says, hold on, y'all making deals. You made a deal about the rainy day fund here with this legislator. And you gave your word. You signed these deals. Don't bounce on the deal now. You stand up to the deal you made. I was feeling bad the other day. I said, Brother Dan said, well, you were supposed to call me the other morning. I was just waiting on you. to go work out. I said, oh man, I told you that. I'm getting too busy. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm gonna do better. I'm really sorry. But see, I went back and prayed for that, and I kept asking, I said, well, did you get some with the gym or whatever? And he said he had found a gym that he can go out and work out on the floor. Man, I'm happy because, see, my schedule fluctuates so much, and I'm twisted and turned this way. But rather than not hold my word, not do what I say, I would rather you get something else established here. Because I felt bad the whole time. I said, man, he done woke up waiting on me. That's bad when somebody waiting on you, you say you're going to do something. The other morning, my son had came by there, and usually me and him talk a while and do things a long while. And I was doing something, he came by, and he was, Dad, and he was talking with my wife at first. And I hope I didn't upset him or nothing. He wouldn't work out by himself. But I said, well, son, I got to go out. I need to rush up to the church. I'm supposed to meet somebody up at the church. You see, you will suffer in this life, but I need to hold to what I said I was going to do. And see, that's what God said. Your words are, you know, it's not that you're not doing this in good faith, but he said it's better not to make a vow than make a vow and not keep. You see, people had begun to allow their children, they had begun to allow things to interfere in them, and they were pushing God to the side, and God has to have the preeminence in your life, in everybody's life. We have to make the sacrifices. We have to suffer from what we want. See, Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to do as Barnabas and the rest of them were doing, and they made a commitment that they shouldn't have made, but they was trying to do like everybody else did. So after making that commitment, they should have stuck to it no matter what it cost. You have to suffer in this life. That's the flesh. That's what we're doing, learning that our bodies, our lives are sacrificed. That's why they called it a sacrifice, because a sacrifice has to hurt. It's not a sacrifice if it don't hurt. David said, I can't offer anything to the Lord, and it hadn't caused me anything. Then all the men, Jeremiah says, all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, and all the women that stood by a great multitude, too. Even all the people, that's Jeremiah 44:15-26. Even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt at Pathros answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. We will not do this because my wife has something else to do. We prospered while we're not in the church, while we're not following God, while we're not giving the way we should give, while we're not giving our time, while we're not watching television, while we're not following after one another. We have to sacrifice and study the Word of God. We have to keep to our promises. We have to walk in this way. We have to deny going to see a friend and let that friend die and saying that Jesus said, I'm glad I wasn't here. This is what's going to glorify God. They said, well, come feed these people. He said, that's what they want me to feed them. And they love me to heal. He said, but to preach the word of God was I said, what has God sent you to do? Do what he sent you to do. He says, if you would hearken unto his word, when God starts speaking to you, harden not your heart. Do what he's telling you to do. Be led by the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit and go in another direction. Listen at the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's going to get quieter and quieter. You're not going to be able to hear it because it speaks in a small, still voice. And if you letting the word be drowned out by the world, you like that seed that fell among thorns, the cares of this world is going to choke it out of you. There's always somebody going to need help. There's always somebody that's in distress. One time they say, well, why we didn't sell this and give it to the poor? Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. I won't be with you always. This woman has done this for my death. We handling problems that we could handle anytime. And maybe that's why they need to be in a bind. Let them stay on the side of the road. Let them suffer sometimes. Let their marriages break up. Let them have divorces. Let the chips fall where they may. Jeremiah said, the Lord says, watch this thing. We will not hearken unto your voice, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the queen of heaven, to pour our drink offerings unto her, as we have done when our fathers and our kings, our princes and the citizens of Judah, and we did eat victuals. But God says to them, even through Isaiah, through all of his prophets, he said, go and tell these people to hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. So God shuts the door then. You wouldn't listen to me. Wisdom say, when I was speaking, you wouldn't listen to me. Now I'm going to laugh when your calamity comes upon you. You go to those gods that you were praying to. You go to those idols that you were afraid of. I hadn't given you the spirit of fear, and you couldn't even run the household I gave you. You couldn't run the church I gave you. You had so many talents, and I had put you over a nation. David, I had sat you over as king over Judah, and if this wasn't enough, I'd have gave you this and that. But then you had to go and let your flesh enter in, and you kill Uriah. You have killed this man over his wife. You didn't call my name to be blasphemous among the Gentiles. Christians will not hold their word. Christians will always forsake this. And we're talking as a whole. We're talking as a whole because there's always that remnant. God says he's not going to make a fool in. There are some Christians out there give their life. I see the world struggling. The other day, I was reading online or whatever where President Obama was saying about Chris Matthews. He said he wanted to apologize for giving him a coronary on the first night of the election debates. That, you know, that's why I say I quit watching it, because Chris Matthews was so upset because Obama didn't handle it the way he handled it. He wanted him to be vicious and go after him. See, but God says vengeance is mine. See, Chris Matthews is a good man. And I say good in the sense of not like God says that there's not one good. I mean, he's of the world, and God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. See, but he doesn't know. But this guy, Zedekiah, his son should know. If he was an elder of the church, if Romney was an elder of the church, he should have raised his children right. Elders have to raise their children right. And this guy, that's why I say his children may be just like what happened to Zedekiah, and it happens to him just the way it happens to him and his children. His son said, well, you know, I wanted to get up and punch Obama when he said my daddy was dishonest. Well, when Jesus' disciples said, Lord, you want us to go set them on fire because they're not with us? He said, you know of not what type of spirit you are. You see, that Mormon church, see, that's a fertility cult like Baal is. That's why they treat women the way they do, because they're just merchandise to Mormons. They figure they should have five or six wives, and they had a thing where two or three of them living in the houses together. They don't respect the person of people. See, violence, why would you punch another man? God says lay hands solemnly on no man. If your children advocating violence and you supposed to be wanting to be a leader of the people and you don't rebuke him for this, what kind of cursed children are we raising? What kind of thoughts run through our mind? God says, obey those that have authority over you. Give honor to whom honor is due. And I would tell anybody in this church, don't rebuke an elder if the governor, don't do this against your governor. Don't do this against your mayor. Don't do this against any man. But as Jeremiah was speaking in the gate, he had to speak what God gave him to speak, no matter who it concerned. And they locked Jeremiah up. Some people stopped them from killing Jeremiah. Jehoiakim wanted to kill him. See, God is your defense. But see, we got a people in a nation. That's why God says, save yourself from this untoward generation. And you have to put on the whole armor of God. See, because Satan's out there, he's going to hinder you to your children, through your children, through your wife. We see where Job tried to be held back by his wife. He says that your enemies shall be those of your own household. But that's why you should pray for your enemy, that they should see the light of day. That's why you should pray for your leaders, that they should lead in the right way, that God should be with them and open up their eyes. But those that sin, sins unto death. You can't do these things. And these things these people are doing nowadays are sin unto death. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew, I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world. I pray for these that you have given me. I pray not for the world. Because these people know. They should have known the way of God. That's the one Jeremiah talked. That's why it says go in the gates. Because these are the people that had rejected the word of God. They are fighting against the word of God. Heavenly Father, as we come up this day, Lord God, help us to take heed unto your word, to hear what your word is saying, Lord God, to rightly divide your word, to study to show ourselves approved, to be led by your spirit, that we grieve not the spirit of the Gentile, the spirit of the Lord, that we walk not as the Gentiles, for once which we once walked in the fertility of our darkened minds. But now that we have been enlightened, let us walk as children of the light. Let us walk circumspectively. Let us take heed unto your word, Lord God. Let us seek the word at your mouth, Lord God. Pray unto you to be healed and to be strengthened and to be a light unto the world, that we may give you the glory and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we